Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the straps of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Sometimes if we watch TV, especially with sort of crime type shows, mystery, crime genre, I suppose you would use the word, there's something that they know, but they just can't prove it. And a supervisor or someone will say, "We need evidence." All of which brings us to Easter Day, a day in which the facts just don't make sense. Jesus had been crucified, his friends had taken his lifeless body off the cross and placed it in a tomb before sundown, intending to come back on the day following the Sabbath and to prepare it for proper burial. And Mary Magdalene comes that first Sunday morning, so early, in fact, that it was still dark. And the Gospels differ exactly on what happened and who got there first. But there is one constant in all the stories, and that is Mary Magdalene. And you wonder what was on her mind. She was no doubt replaying over and over again the events of that past week and was unable to make sense of it all. And I'm sure as she had questions, more questions came, and there were no answers, and her head must have been spinning. We've all been in that place. Now, we don't know why she went by herself. And why didn't the other disciples come with her? It was really unusual for a woman to be out alone at that time of the morning. And when she gets to the place, she's totally surprised to find the stone rolled away. It must have been quite a shock for her. All of everything had kind of fallen apart for her and the disciples on Good Friday. And they had almost lost hope. And she comes to the tomb and she finds that the stone has been rolled away. She goes and she calls to other disciples who come running back. And it always surprises me in the story how they seem relatively unconcerned about her. They run straight into the tomb. They have a look around. Nobody seems to speak to her. She's just left on her own. Maybe they were as shocked and overwhelmed. Who knows? But she's standing there on her own, and the angels ask her why she's crying, and then she hears Jesus call her name. And that's the fulcrum of this story, because the moment she hears Jesus call her name, everything changes. And in that very moment, she knows that it's him. And so she rushes forward to grasp hold of him, and he tells her that he needs to go and ascend to the heaven and the throne of God, and that she was to go and tell his disciples. And that's what she did. She went saying, "I have seen the Lord." Inasmuch as many of us have been at that point of the tomb, thinking that everything has fallen apart, many of us have been at that moment when we have heard Jesus call our name, and we have known that everything changes. It's a fantastic story, one that has baffled scholars for the best part of 2 millennia. Bodies don't just disappear. Huge stones don't get moved by themselves. It can't be explained. The evidence doesn't add up. How do you explain the resurrection? We live in a time when we want facts, when we want the DNA, we want concrete evidence, when physics can sometimes seem to be more important than theology. How could the resurrection happen? Well, the author Harvey Cox puts it very well when he says, "The resurrection is the laughter of the universe. Mary may have wept at first, but she also discovered that God was smiling." In the resurrection, God smiles at the world because all of our human understanding has been turned on its ear. Resurrection makes no physical sense. It can't be explained or quantified or subject to scientific test. It is there simply to believe. Now, Mary might not have understood the facts of the resurrection, but she had the faith to believe. She couldn't explain the evidence, but she knew it was true. This is the Easter season once again. And we are all here this morning because thousands of years later, we believe that it is true. We come to that point of simplicity, of saying it can't be explained, but we believe it's true. We know the light of Christ is a reality. Now some might be here questioning. Some might be here in a place of darkness. And that's also okay. To question, to walk through darkness, it's part of life and pilgrimage. But the wonder of the gospel and the wonder of this day is that we know, as we walk in darkness, God is beside us, shining the light, even though sometimes we can't always see the light. It's like that footprints story that we all know so well. God carries us. That is what Easter Sunday is about, that God gives us hope in the darkness, and he carries us. We are confronted by the empty tomb. just as generations before us. And we come expecting to find a body, but only discover that the grave clothes have been left behind. And that's what all this is about. The flowers, the Easter garden, the fire outside, the noise at that certain point in the liturgy. Because we celebrate that we know that he is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And because he lives, we shall live also. Amen.